Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara is discussing in the Mishnah that Rehuda Omer, Misteh Ailan Kedarko, in terms of trapping the animals, when it comes to a field of trees, then you're allowed to trap the animals Kedarko, the normal way. Misteh Alavan, when it comes to a field of grains, Shalok Kedarko, then you can't do it in the normal manner. Now the question is, what is Kedarko, and what is Shalok Kedarko? So, Tanu Rabbanan, Ketzad Darko, what is the normal way of capturing? Chofer Guma, you dig a little ditch, Betoleba Mitsuda, and then you hang a trap inside of the ditch. Ketzad Shaloki Darko, how do you do it in an unusual manner? No, H Shipud, instead of digging out the ditch, you put in a beam or some sort of large object, Umakebe Kurdum, and then you hit it on top of it with a mallet or a hatchet, you hit hard on it so it actually presses the ground down. It flattens down. It flattens down the ground. So instead of literally digging it in, you compress the dirt underneath to create the depression that you want to set up the trap inside of it. So that's Shaloki Darko, because it looks less like you are doing the work in the field and more like that you're doing some sort of construction over there. And that's what it means, Shaloki Darko. Right now, the Gemara continues and says, Tanyo. Now over here, it's interesting. We have Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. There's another Girsa of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It's not really clear how this Braita fits in with what we've said until now. We've had two opinions in the Mishnah that we already spoke about. The Mishnah says that Tzadin et ha'ishut v'derachbarim misteh ilan u'misteh avala van kid darko b'moed u'bishvit. You can do it properly. V'chamim omrim. And the other possible girsha is Rabbi Huda, which you saw in the beginning of our Gemara over here, is Rabbi Huda Omer, Mistei Ilan Kedarko, Mistei Alavan Shelo Kedarko. So we here have a machloke between the Tanakama and the Chachamim, or Tanakama and Rabbi Huda. All of a sudden now we enter a third Tana, and he says, Omer, Kishamru Mistei Lavan Shelo Kedarko. When we talk about a field of grain, where you have to do it in an unusual manner, No Amaru El Mistei Lavan Es Muchadayir. That's only true when you're talking about a field of grain that is close to the city. If you have a field of grain that is next to a field of trees, then you can capture it normally. Because of the proximity between the two fields, then there's danger to the Steya Ilan from the Steya Lavan. And therefore you can act normally in the Steya Lavan to protect the Steya Ilan. So again, it's unclear here if we have a third Tano who's giving a third opinion, or this Tana is qualifying the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, that's what it seems to be from the Gemara. And Tosafot actually notes that there was an alternative girsa here that said, V'nirli de garsin in hochi, be'ezo ste lavan matirim chachamim. In which ste lavan were the chachamim matir? And that's what the Braita comes to address. Now, if you have that opening statement here, it's clear that the Braita is coming to qualify the position of chachamim or Rabbi Yehuda, and not be a third position in the argument here about what you're allowed to do. And that seems to be the flow of the Gemara, that we're qualifying that last statement about Ste Lavan. When is it that you don't have to do it in an unusual manner? That's in a case where it's proximate to a Ste Ilan. Then you can do it normally because of the risk to the Ste Ilan. But you have a lone Ste Halavan, or it's next to a Beit HaShlachim, it's next to other types of fields, then you have to do it Shelo Kedarko, because the hefsed isn't as great as the steha ilan. And now the Gemara says, umakrin et ha-pirtza b'moed. One is allowed to seal up a breach in the wall on Chol HaMoed. Ketzad makrin. How do you fill in the wall on Chol HaMoed? Rav Yosef Amar, behutza v'dafna. You use twigs and stakes to make up a temporary wall or temporary fence in the breach. As Rashi notes, the hutza are the anfei degel de tmarim. Those are the branches, the twigs of the palm tree. So they weave together these stakes with the hutzedekel, with the leaves of the palm, and together they create some sort of temporary fence that covers over the breach. In a braita we have, tsar bitzror venutach betit. He's allowed to put down stones, but he's not allowed to cement them together. So you could do the work of rebuilding the fence, but you can't do it in a way that finishes it off or makes it into a permanent structure. So Amar Rav Chisda lo shanu ala kotel hagina. That's only when we're talking about the wall of the garden. Aval kotel hachatzer, when you're talking about the wall of his courtyard, bone kedarko, then you can build normally. Because the bonek darko because of the risk of ganavim, of thieves coming in. Here we're talking about his personal property, exposure to the reshut rabim. So in that case, you're allowed to build up the wall because there's real risk. There's real hefseh that we're talking about here. By gina, having a small breach in the wall for that short period of time is not great, but it's not the end of the world. So over there, we say do something like either the hutzo dafna, or we saw over here, the matita tana, you can put down the rocks without the cementing. But when it comes to something that's real risk, like the chatzer, now this is assuming that the chatzer faces out to reshut rabim. If your chatzer faces your neighbor, then as Tosafot says, it's less of an issue. But when it faces reshut rabim, you're really at risk because your courtyard's now open to the public domain, and that's a serious issue. Because remember, their courtyards were a part and parcel of their house, and they had private property there. They had their goods out there. It was a real risk for them to lose or to have things stolen from them. So therefore, in that case, you can definitely fix the wall. So lema misayile, let's say that this will help him, the Tosefta that says, kota la gochel reshut rabim, if you have a wall that is tipping over as if it's going to fall into the reshut rabim, soter uvonek darko mipnei hasakana, one is allowed to dismantle that wall, rebuild it the normal way because of the risk, because of the danger. Where it says, what type of proof is that? Atam giriktani daima. There it gives you the explicit reason why you have permission to do this. Mipnei hasakana, because of the danger that's involved. There we allow you to rebuild the wall because there's significant danger that it's going to fall on people in the Reshut Rabim. So that's why it's permitted. But over here, why is that a proof to the case that Rav Chista brings? By the case of Rav Chista, there's a risk of loss. There's not a risk of injury or loss of life here. Vigadamre, some say, Tashma, Kotola Gochel Reshut Rabim. When you have a wall that's toppling or tipping towards Reshut Rabim, Soter, you're allowed to dismantle it. And then rebuild it normally, because of the danger. In, because of the danger, you're allowed to do this. Shalom, but if it wasn't for the danger, you wouldn't be allowed to do this. That's actually now a problem that could undermine the whole position of Rav Chista. Rav Chista said before, you can fix up the wall of your chatzer without any problems. Over here, it sounds like only because of danger you're allowed to do that, but not in a case where you just have a breach in the wall. Rav Chista, hatam soteru bunet. That's why you need sakana over there. Sakana over there in the Tosefta is granting you the right to both dismantle the wall and rebuild the wall. That's what sakana gives you permission to for. Hacha boneh v'lo soter. In my case, I'm just rebuilding the wall. I'm not taking the wall down. So the guy says, hatam nami. So if that's the case, say in that case, listor v'lo livne. Why doesn't he just dismantle the wall to remove the danger? Why is he granted permission to rebuild the wall? Rebuilding the wall is the same case of Rav Chista. Once you've dismantled the wall, you're now faced with the same issue that Rav Chista is speaking about, which is you have an opening now that needs to be filled. So why by the Tosefta does it say you can only refill it if it was a sakana, and Rav Chista is saying you can refill it no matter what? The Gemara says, no, that case is different. Hatam nami, if you want to be listo velo livne, came mimna velo soter. He'll never take it down in the first place. It's basically what they did was, because of, so they were matir sofo mipnei tchilato. The opposite of what we had other places in the Gemara, that they're matir tchilato mishum sofo, here it's the other way around. They're matir in the end, putting the wall back up, because if we don't allow him to put the wall back up, he'll never take it down. So we want him to take it down, because there's real danger here. So in order to grant him the right to take the wall down, we also have to grant him the right to rebuild it. So that's a self-contained case, which is, if we're going to let him take it down and rebuild it, which is all part of one case, that we have to do only because of sakana. My case with Chista says where the wall's not there to start with. And so it's not about soter, it's simply about rebuilding it. There you have permission to rebuild it. Without any problem, because there's risk to the chatzer. Danger grants you an additional right, which is to take the wall down as well. Amar Rav Ashi, matnita nami deka. Our Mishnah, there's a diuk of our Mishnah that supports that position of Chista, diktani. Ubi shvi'it, bonek darko. It says there in shvi'it, you can build like normal. Teheicha. What are we talking about in shvi'it? Ilema de chatzer. If you're talking about in the chatzer, tzricha, lemeimar, you have to tell me that? What would be wrong with building your chatzer on shvi'it? It's clearly not avudata karka. There's no reason not to do it. No, kolam moed, I can understand what the problem is. There's an isur malocha. So that's why you can't rebuild it. But shvi'it, what's the reason to believe that by your chatzer you can't rebuild the wall? Elav degina, it must be that you're talking about the garden. Because by the garden there is a chiddush by shvi'it, because you're allowed to build it normally, and we don't say it's as if he's trying to take possession of the fruit. He's trying to be shomer on the fruit of hefker, the fruit of shvi'it. So there's a reason to say you shouldn't be able to build it on Shvi'it. But afagav de mechzei keman de'ovid nitiruta lepere, even there, he looks like he's putting up a wall to protect the fruits on the inside and keep them as private property. Shma mino, that we allow him to do that by the gina. So now what do you see from this? You have to say, first of all, we say by Shvit, by Chatzer, we don't see any information because it's obvious that you can build the wall of your Chatzer on Shvit. By the Gina, what we see now is that when it comes to the Gina on Shvit, you have permission to rebuild the wall without worrying about the fact that it might look like you are protecting the fruit or taking it away from the public. But that's by a Gina. So by a Gina, we say Shvit, yes. Chol HaMoed, no. So now, the inference from that would be that by a chatzer, it would be both Shvi'it, yes, and Chol HaMoed, yes. That would one way to learn this. It's not an obvious jump. So there are other Rishonim who suggest here that the proof to Rav Chisda's statement is not about the chatzer side of it, but rather about the Gina side of it. If you remember, there were two parts to the story before. One part was the Braita that said you're allowed to put the rocks in without cementing them. Then along comes Rav Chisda and says, Loshonu, that's only true, El Kotel Gina. That's by the Kotel of the Gina. By the Kotel Chatzer, you can build normally. That means Rav Chisda's position is actually two parts to it. By a Chatzer, you can build normally on Chol HaMoed. But by a Gina on Chol HaMoed, you can build, but not normally. You have to do it Shaloka Darko. And that might be what Rav Ashi is saying, Matnita Nami Deka, that our Mishnah is approved to that, because what does it say in the Mishnah? It says, B'Shvi'it Boneke Darko. Then Shvi'it, you can build totally normally. So implying from the Mishnah that Shvi'it is normal, that by Chol HaMoed Shelo Kedarko, you can do it Shelo Kedarko. Not that by Chol HaMoed you can't do it at all. No. If it says B'Shvi'it Kedarko, it means by Chol HaMoed Shelo Kedarko. What Shelo Kedarko? That means by a Gina, you can do it Shelo Kedarko, which is similar to that position of Rav Chisda. So that might be what Rav Ashi is coming to say. Our Mishnah is Meduyak, like that half of Rav Ashi's position, which is that when it comes to the Gina, you're allowed to do it Shelo Kedarko. We first spoke out the possibility that it's supporting the other half of Rav Chisda's position, which is that even the chatzer you can build normally, that is also supported by a Mishnah, and that's from the diuk, the fact that the Mishnah only addresses Gina and not chatzer. If it wanted to draw a distinction also in chatzer, it should have mentioned both of them. The fact that it only mentions that we're talking about Gina by the knowledge that Shvi'it Kedarko, so that teaches that by Chol HaMoed, the restriction might only be when you do it by a Gina, but not by a chatzer. And right now, next Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ro'im et Nigaim. You're allowed to see Nigayim, question whether the Girsa B'Tchila, Lahakel. That is, he wants to make it Tahor. Avalola Hachmir, but not to make it Tamei. Meaning that when the Kohen comes to look at the Nega, you can have the Kohen look at it, but he only gives up Sakalacha if it goes in his favor. But if it doesn't go in his favor, then he just keeps silent. Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and this is Rechamim Armim, Lola Hakel, Valola Hachmir. He doesn't see it, whether it's the Kula or the Chumra. Meaning if he sees it, he's gonna have to paskin. Whether it's good or bad, he's gonna have to paskin. So how are we going to avoid that problem? Not having him look at it. If he doesn't look at it, then he can't give up Psak Halacha on it. This all derives from the fact that there's a requirement on the holidays, on the regal, to even Samachta Bechagecha. So we want to enhance the Simcha of the individual. How do we help them out? How do we enhance their Simcha on the regal? That's by not getting them to a position where they're going to have to be locked up. They're going to be Chutz Tamachaneh, where they're going to be Tameh. So how do we prevent that? We don't show it to the Kohen. We don't show the Nega to the Kohen. If we don't show the Nega to the Kohen, then he can't give up Psak Halacha about it. So now the Gemara wants to understand. Tanya, Rimeo, Meir, Ro'in, Etan, Nigayim, Lahakel, Avalola, Achmir. Kohen can look at it, and then give a Psak Halacha of Tara, but not a Psak Halacha of Tuma. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Lola, Hakel, Avalola, Achmir, which is what we mentioned in the Mishnah, the Chachamim, to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says he doesn't look at it at all. Shima Ta, Niskaklo, Lahakel, Niskaklo, Avalola, Achmir. If you're gonna let him see it in order to be mekil, then he's also going to have to answer the achmir. He has to give up psak halacha. Once you force him to look at it and to give up psak halacha, he's going to have to give up psak halacha. That'll be whether it's the hakel or the achmir. So if you want to avoid him going the achmir, you also have to avoid him going the hakel, and you can't show it to him at all. So now we have a statement by Rabbi. Amar Rabbi nirim divrei Rabbi Meir b'muzgar, v'divrei Rabbi Yossi b'muchlat. Rabbi Meir's position makes sense when we're talking about a mitzora muzgar. Whereas Rabbi Yossi's position makes sense when we're talking about a mitzora muchlat. Now, muzgar and muchlat are different stages of the mitzora's life cycle. The mitzora at first finds a nega, and then he goes to the kohen. The kohen can either decide immediately if he sees simanei tumah that it's tameh. On the other hand, a lot of times, in most situations, he won't be able to make the decision at first. Then he says, you have to wait a week and come back after that week, and then I'll give you a psak halacha based on what's changed in that week. That week period, or the time period between when the kohen sees it the first time, and then he gives a psak the second time, is called muzgar. When the mitzora is locked up, and he's awaiting the final psak halacha as to what his status is going to be. We had this in the Gemara Megillah with regards to the Mishnah. It says, Ein bein mitzora muzgar, the mitzora muchlat, ela prio frima. There's no difference between a mitzora who is awaiting the psak, meaning that he's waiting to find out whether it's tamei or not, versus a mitzora muchlat, where we finally decide that he is a mitzora tamei, except prio frima. The way that he has to wear his tattered clothing, and he has to let his hair grow out. So those are the only differences between them. But there is this distinction between a Metzora Muzgar and a Metzora Muchlat. Now the difference being, which is what Rava is going to discuss over here, why would Rabbi feel that the halacha should be different by a Muzgar and a Muchlat? That has to do with the outcome of what happens. So this is, I'm a Rava, B'tahor, we're talking about a person who's Tahor, Kulam Alo Pligay Delo Chazule. The guy is completely Tahor, and this is the first time he's going to show the Nega to the Kohen. We say, just wait it out. Don't show it to the Kohen. There's no reason for you to engage with the Kohen today. There's only downside for you. There's no upside for you at this point. There's only downside. So during the Rego, I don't want you showing it to the Kohen. That's according to everyone, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Behezger Rishon. I'm not going to go with the Girsa of the Gra. The Girsa of the Gra is Behezger Sheni here. We'll go with the Girsa that we have in our Gemaras, which is Behezger Rishon. After the first lockup, the Kule Amalo Plige, the Chazile. Everybody agrees that you do see him at that point in time. Because, again, as Rashi is going to explain here, there's no downside. It's not so clear. I'll explain this in 1 second. Ki plige, where do they argue, is behezger sheni, when he's locked up for a second time or a second week. At that point in time, we have a machloket here. Because mar sever bekoin talya milta, that the kohen has the determining factor over here. So itahor amalei tahor. If he's tahor, he'll tell me he's tahor. Itamei shotik. If he's tamei, he's just not going to say anything. Mar sever le taharo ule ta'amo. It says that either to be mitaherim or mitamehim when the Kohen sees it. So that says, letaro letamoktiv. So that means that he has to make a decision. He can't just come in and make one way. If he goes in to look at it, he's got to make a decision. Either it's tahor or tameh. He can't avoid the psak halacha. Once he's forced in that position, he's got to answer. He's got to deal with the psak halacha. So now, according to Rashi over here, and this is not so simple, Tosfot adjusts this situation a little bit. Rashi says, wait a minute. After the hezger rishon, after the first week he's there and he goes and shows his nega to the Kohen again. He's waited 7 days, he goes to show it to him again. So Rashi suggests over here that there is no downside to this. That we allow the Kohen to see it. Because what is he going to say? He has one of two options. He's going to say he's tahor. That's good. If he gets that news, then he's going to be very happy. If he tells him that he has to wait another week, then he's in the same predicament he was before. So there's only upside to him from showing it to the Kohen. And that's why everybody agrees you show it to the Kohen. Tosafot says, I don't know what you're talking about. That's just not true. After the Hezger Rishon, after the first week of being locked up, if he comes back and shows the Nega to the Kohen, it's spread and it's expanded, he's going to be Tamei right away. There are actually three options at that point in time. Once he finishes the first week of being closed up, one option is that he's going to make him Tahor. Another option is going to make him wait another week. The third option is going to make him Tamei. So there is downside over there. So I don't know what you're talking about, Rashi. There's no downside. Ella, what he says you have to say is, Behezger Rishon doesn't mean after the first week of being locked up, but rather in the first time that he, beginning of Hezger Rishon. That's what he says. That Behezger Rishon, Hainu B'tchilat Hezger Rishon. At the beginning of the time that he's going to his Hezger Rishon. So there, Da'alo Shayach Letaro Letamo. Behezger Sheni, what does Hezger Sheni mean in our Gemara here? It means B'tchilat Hezger Sheni, at the beginning of the second lockup. Shema Enu Yachol Ishtok, because over there he may not be able to be silent. Din Besof Hezger Sheni, so it was true at the end of his Hezger Sheni. So it's somewhat difficult because it says, I'm a Rabbi, but Tahor Kuli Amalo Plige. Tahor, everybody agrees that we don't see him. Then it says, also, Behezger Rishon, the Kuli Amalo Plige, the Chazile. At the beginning of his Hezger Rishon, Tosfot says, and everybody agrees that we see him at that point in time. Because there is no downside to seeing him at that point in time. Either he's going to tell him it's not a nega tamei, so let him go. Or he's going to tell him that you have to be muzgar. And by being a muzgar, he's going to not have any downside by being a muzgar at that point in time. Because he's not going to be tamei. So there's no downside to it. There's only a possibility that he's going to be mitaherim. Again, that the next stage is b'tchilat hezger sheni, which is the point that we saw before where there is downside. Which is there he has the three options. After the first week of being locked up, either he can make him tahor, he can make him wait another week, or he can make him tameh. If he's going to make him tameh, that's really his downside. But as the first time he sees the nega, there is no downside because he can't, almost definitely can't make him tameh in that first shot. It's very difficult to become tameh unless there are simanei tuma immediately, which is very rare. There, you have most times you have to wait and see whether the nega expands or it contracts over that first week of time, or some other siman of michia or other things that come in that would make it tamei appear inside of the nega. So Tosafot just adjusts the time period a little bit to deal with the fact that there is some downside. But here we have the way the Rav is explaining Rabbi's position over here is basically that when it comes to decisions where there's downside, we say basically Rabbi Yossi's right, don't look at it at all. Where there are positions where there is only upside or the status quo, then let Rabbi Meir make sense and let him see it. And then Behezger Sheni, what is the determining factor? Are you allowed to look at something and say, you know what, I don't want to tell you what I want to say here? Or is the Kohen compelled to say something because if he's going to give a Psak Halacha, he has to go one of two ways. And so therefore he doesn't have a choice anymore to pull away. Yes, he has a choice never to enter into the Psak Halacha, but he doesn't have a choice once he's entered in to look at it to decide what he says or what he doesn't say. Rabbi Meir says he can't make that decision. Rabbi Yossi says he cannot make that decision. Right, Tosfot does not describe that. So I don't know if he had a different girsa over here. Tosfot only notes the two possibilities of either Tchilat Hezger Rishon, Tchilat Hezger Sheni, as if there's no B'tahor, as if that there was no mention of Tahor in the Gemara. So that's what it almost seems like. They didn't have that first option in his Gemara.
It also ignores the fact that there's a possibility that even in the first sighting by the Kohen, that you could actually make him Tamei if it has a Siman Tumah in it. I suggested that maybe that's so rare that he doesn't worry about that option. But that option also exists, which is one of his criticisms of Rashi in seeing him at the end of the Hezger Rishon. So there are problems in the way that Tosafot explains the Gemara.
Right, so Amar Rabbi, Nirin Divrei Rabbi Yossi b'Mukhlat, v'Divrei Rabbi Meir b'Muzgar. So that's what we mentioned before, that Rabbi says that Rabbi Yossi's position makes sense b'Mukhlat, when he is a decided mitzorah, meaning that he's already a mitzorah, full-fledged mitzorah. And then we have the second statement, which is that we like Rabbi Meir's position b'muzgar, when he's awaiting the decision about whether he's a mitzorah to Meir or not. Where it says, v'atanya yipcha, don't we have a braita that teaches you just the opposite? So where it says, tanaehi, aliba de Rabbi. It's a machloket tanaim in the position of Rabbi, as to which one makes more sense. Does Rabbi Meir make more sense b'muzgar? Does Rabbi Meir make more sense b'muchlat? And the same true vice versa for Rabbi Yossi. So now, how are we going to explain these positions? The Mar Saver Tzavta ba'alma odifle, because one of them believes that the company of the general public is more important to an individual. Mar Saver Tzavta the Ishto odifle, and the other one says no, that the company of his wife is more important to him, which is going to cause a person to be either more despondent if he loses them, or what is going to make a person happier if he gains it. So is it the company of his wife? Is that the thing that really is the pivotal factor for him? Or is his ability to be social and to interact with the community at large? And that's the machloket between the two Tanaim over here. So that has to do with a machloket here about how to explain this Gemara. We'll go with the Rashi that's found here in the Gemaras. Rashi over here says in the Gemara, with why is it that this makes sense? Because Rashi has an assumption here. Rashi has an assumption that first of all, a mitzorah that's muzgar may not be together with his wife. Then the second stage is that a mitzorah mukhlat is allowed to be together with his wife. But then there's also a different change that takes place over here, which is that when he goes from muzgar, where he is allowed to be, interact with the community, to mitzorah mukhlat, then he has to leave the three machanot and he's pushed outside of the three machanot. So Rashi says that in these stages here, you're actually going to get different things that are going to be affected. If he's a mitzorah muzgar, he's allowed to interact with the community, but he's not allowed to be together with his wife. We move over to mitzorah mukhlat, a fully decided mitzorah. He says at that point he's mutar to be with his wife, but he's now asur to be with the community. He's pushed outside of the three machanot. Then the next stage where the Kohen comes and says it makes him tahor, in the process of tahara, then, again, he's going to lose his wife, because in the process of Tara, he's not allowed to be together with his wife. But then he will gain the ability to come into the Machaneh. So here we have to weigh which one is more important to the individual. And then that will decide how Rabbi Paskins, in terms of whether he thinks Rabbi Meir makes more sense, or Rabbi Yossi makes more sense. And that's the Machloket Tanaim over here. Which one do we focus on? Do we focus on the public at large? And that's what he's after, and therefore we're going to try to do everything we can to get him back to the public at large. Or are we focused on his companionship with his wife? And therefore, we're going to make decisions that favor him being together with his wife. So that says, you can see it in Rashi. Rashi explains over here. So, lahochi chazi le b'moed behezger shini. And that's why we allow you to see him after the second hezger. Di mitaro, if you make him tor, misamcho. Vafilu mitamele, umachli le, umishari le chutz de gil machanot. And if he decides that he's really tamein, throws him out to the three machanot. But late late tzavto the inche de alma, he's not going to have the company of people. Filochi late late tzaro, he's not going to be so upset. Tait late tzavto the ishto, because now he's going to gain the company of his wife. So that's the one grouping that says that the company of his wife is paramount to him. So in the case where he's at the Hezger Sheni already, and that's where he's going to favor the position of Rabbi Yossi and say that by a mukhlat, it makes more sense to say like the position of Rabbi Meir, which says that we see him. Because either way, he's going to benefit from this. Either way, it's really the hakel. Because either you're going to paskin that he's tahor, and that's going to make him happy, or you're going to paskin that he's a full-fledged mitzorah at that point in time. Oh, you paskin that he's a full-fledged mitzorah, then he gains the company of his wife. He was also doing his wife until now. Now all of a sudden, he gains the company of his wife. So that's a way that you would explain here. That's why we would favor the position of Rabbi Yossi in the case where he is a mukhlat, and we'll favor the position of Rabbi Meir where he's a muzgar. So when he's a muzgar, we're going to say like Rabbi Meir, go see him. Because if you see him now, then you can make a decision. Either he's tahor, that's a great deal for him, or he becomes tamei. So he loses the company. He's going to be thrown out of the three machanot, but he gains to be access to his wife again. He's allowed to be together with his wife, and that's to his benefit. By the case of mukhlat, where he's already a full-fledged mitzora, over there we don't want you to see him. Because what are the options when you see him as a mukhlat? All right, either he stays as a mukhlat, nothing changes, but the other possibility is you make him tahor. Well, if you make him tahor, then he has the 7 days of Tahara. At that point in time, the 7 days of Tahara, he's going to become usher to his wife again. And that we don't want. So therefore, he favors the position of Rabbi Yossi by the Mukhlat, and he favors the position of Rabbi Meir by the Musgar. The other position, the other Braita, is just the opposite. There he favors Rabbi Yossi by the Musgar, and he favors the Rabbi Meir by the Mukhlat. That's because the focus, according to that Braita, is on the companionship of the community, not his wife. So he doesn't care about what happens with his wife. He cares more about whether he's going to interact with the community. So where are we going to favor him? We're going to favor him by the case where he's a mukhlat, where he's a full-fledged mitzora. In that case, we're going to say, go see him. Because what's the downside? If you find out that he's tamei, all right, so he stays tamei. Nothing changed. If he becomes tahor, now he's in the process of rejoining the community. He can come back in. He may not be able to. Now he loses his ability to be with his wife. But that's no big deal because now he's got the community back. So there we're going to favor him. We're going to say that we pass him like Rabbi Meir by a mukhlat. By Muzgar, it's just the opposite. By a Mitzorah that's waiting to find out what his position is, better off to leave him as a Muzgar, according to this Rashi, who says that he can still interact with the community, so therefore he'd rather be a Muzgar and just leave me alone. Because if you come in at Paskin, then you have two options now. Once he's a Muzgar, you can make him Tohar, he'll be very happy. But if you make him Tamei and he becomes a Mukhlat, he has to go outside the Chutz, the Shosh Machanot, and now he's going to be an individual who's disconnected from the community, and he's not going to want that. Therefore, I'm going to favor the position of deciding by a mukhlat. So I'm going to say Rabbi Meir is by mukhlat. And I'm going to say by a muzgar, don't touch it. That's Rabbi Yossi's position. That explains the other way in the Braita. Why in one case we say that Rabbi Meir is the position of mukhlat. And in one case we say Rabbi Meir is the position of the muzgar. Depends which thing you're favoring. Are we favoring his companionship with his wife, or are we favoring the companionship with the public at large? And that explains the two positions that we just saw here about where Rabbi's favorites or position lies. Now, that's all according to Rashi. Rashi is embedded in this are two assumptions, both of which are not so simple. One assumption is that when it comes to a muzgar, a mitzora muzgar, number one, he's asur with his wife. Number two is he's not disconnected from the community. Those are the two assumptions embedded in Rashi. Therefore, Rashi says once he becomes a mukhlat, when he becomes a decided mitzora, two things happen to him. First of all, he becomes mutar with his wife. And number two is, he gets thrown out of the machaneh. He gets now segregated from the machaneh. So that's the two things that are premised, or the premises of Rashi's position over here. Both of those are questionable. Rashi and the Ktav Yad argues on one of them, which is the position about the muzgar and mukhlat, the difference between whether they're disconnected from the community or not. Tosafot on the Amud Aleph argues on both of those positions, and he says that it's clear from the Gemara in Megillah, the Mishnah Megillah that we learned, that ein ben muzgar le mukhlat. There's no difference between them except priyabu prima, except for the long hair growing out your hair and the tattered clothing. That's the only difference between them. But there's no difference with regards to the fact that they have to be chutz l'shlosh machanot, that they'd be outside the three machanot, they're disconnected from the community. That's not different between them. In addition to that, you know what else is not different between them? About his wife. He's allowed to be together with his wife when he's a musgar, and he's allowed to be together with his wife when he's a mukhlat. It makes absolutely no difference. So that's what Tosfot says, and he argues on Rashi because of that. He says Rashi's just not right here. Neither of those positions are correct. Again, Rashi in the Ketav Yad says that, agrees with Tosfot's position that there shouldn't be any difference about going mechutz l'shalosh machanot. He does agree with Rashi here about Tashmish HaMita. We're going to see that in a second about the companionship of his wife, where that position might have come from. But in general, Tosafot has strong backing for his position that there should be no differentiation over here. And therefore, he argues on Rashi, and he has to explain the Gemara differently because of that. He says, when the Gemara over here says, Tzavta de Ishto, or Tzavta de Almo, how do we explain this? So this is what he says, Behachi Perusho, and this is how you explain it. Nirim Divrei Rabbi Meir B'Mukhlat, makes more sense, Rabbi Meir's position B'Mukhlat, Dime Tamile Tchilanami Tamehu. Nothing changes. If you make him Tamei, he's still in the same status he was before. V'imitarle, if you mitari him, my afsade. What is he going to lose here? The tzavta d'isho, eno choshesh. He doesn't care about the companionship of his wife. The tzavta alma, difale, because the community is more important to him. V'nirim d'Rabbi Yossi b'muzgar, Rabbi Yossi's position by muzgar makes more sense. D'mitamele, because in a case where if he's mitamele, upasi tzavta d'alma, he's going to lose out on the community as a whole. And therefore, he is going to lose out. Why is he going to lose out on the community as a whole? For Rashi, was because before he was allowed to be in the community, now he has to go chutz l'shlosh machanot. But for Tosafot, it's the same thing. Both for Muzgar and Mukhlat, he's outside the machaneh. What's the one difference between them? That which you saw in the Mishnah Megillah. Mishnah Megillah says the difference is priya uprima. He's going to be disheveled and tattered clothing. So do you know why he's going to be disconnected from the community? Nobody's going to want to go near him. Because of the way he looks. Because of the way that he has to conduct himself now. That's what's going to scare people away. It's not because of the distance, that he was already there before. The problem now is that his looks and the way that he has to conduct himself is going to force people away from him. They're not going to want to be near him. And that's what does it. Because it's prio, primo, vitame, tame, yikra. That he has to call out to people and tell people to stay far away from me. So that isolation, badad yeshev, the chutz tamachaneh, that isolation because he has to tell him I'm tame and he's going to be all disheveled, that's what's going to keep the people away. And that's what he doesn't want. So according to the one who says community is most important, that's why we say by a mukhlat, go ahead and make a decision because you have no downside. By a muskar, we say don't look at this because if you become a mukhlat, you're going to be in a really bad position. Then the other Tano, who says that we focus on the benefits from his wife, is basically not nearing to Rabbi Meir, but really whether I think Rabbi Yossi is right in this case or Rabbi Yossi is right, not right in this case. We're basically going to say whether is it worth seeing him or not seeing him. Rabbi Yossi says, see him or don't see him. So in the case where his wife is beneficial, we're going to say by the case of Mukhlat, don't see him. Because in the case of Mukhlat, if you make a decision to make him Tahor, he's going to lose out being together with his wife. Because as he goes through the Tahara process, he has to be separated from his wife. By a Muzgar, why not see him? Ain't nearing Divir Rabbi Yossi. Let him see him during the period of a Muzgar because he has no downside there. He's already together with his wife. And if you make him into mukhlat, he'll continue to be together with his wife. So what's the big deal? Or the other way around, which is, if we believe originally he wasn't allowed to be with his wife as a musgar, he still will not be allowed to be together with his wife as a mukhlat, and you haven't changed the status quo. And since the focus is on his wife, so since the status quo doesn't change between musgar and mukhlat, why not see him? On the other hand, by mukhlat, where it could change him to the worst, which is that even though he's going to come to her, he's going to lose out the companionship of his wife, there we say, step away, don't see him in this point in time. Right, so that's the way Tosafot explains this Gemara. Now, let's find out about what the issue is with regards to Tashmish HaMita or being together with his wife. Here the Gemara explains that. The Memra, the Mukhlat, Mutar B'Tashmish HaMita. That a Metzora, that's Mukhlat, that's fully decided he's a Metzora Tamei, he is allowed to be together with his wife. In, that's true. V'atanyo, we have a Braita, V'yeshev Michutz La'olo Shiva Yamim. He has to stay outside of his OL for 7 days. She asur b'tashmish amita. That makes him asur b'tashmish amita. How do you know that? Because they know alo el ishto. Because OL means ishto. Shnemar leich emor lehem shuvu lachem lo leichem. It says by Har Sinai that Hashem instructs Moshe to tell the people to go back to their tents, meaning go back to their wives. Because Moshe ata po amodi madi. You're going to stay with me. You're not going to go back to your wife. That was the later what Hashem, or the answer to why Hashem says, I did instruct Moshe to separate from his wife, and that's why Aaron and Miriam are wrong by criticizing him for that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shiva Yamim Misavru Lo, says he has to count for 7 days. Yemei Sviro, Velo Yemei Chaluto. The days of his counting, but not the days of his Chaluto. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Zayin Yemei Sviro, Kavachomer Yemei Chaluto. If his Yemei Sfira are separated from his wife, then certainly his Yemei Chaluto is going to have to be separated from his wife. So basically the limud here is that when it comes to Veshev Mechutz Lo Shiva Yamim, in the process of Tahara, it says that he has to be outside of his oel for 7 days. Outside of his oel, we just discussed, means that he has to be away from his wife. So during the process of Tahara, everybody agrees that he has to separate away from his wife. Now the question is, it's a machloket here. Again, the gears are here. We have Rabbi Yehuda. There is this Hagod Marilando that says that another gears is Rabbi over here and not Rabbi Yehuda. But either way, it says that Shivat Yamim Misapru Lo. Yemei Sviro, Velo Yemei Chaluto. The Torah is specific. What is it that you are considered to be Tahor for? That is the 7 days in which you count. Those 7 days in which you're counting, those are the days in which you are the process of Tahara. Those 7 days of Tahara, those are the days that have the restriction against you being together with your wife. But that is Yemei Sfiro. That's only true by the process of Tahara. Below Yemei Chaluto. But not when you were a fully decided Mitzora. The Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi's position here is that a Mitzora Muchlat is Mutar with his wife. When you go into the process of Tahara, then you'll have to separate from his wife for 7 days. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, Zayin Yemei Sfiro, Kal V'Chomer Yemei Chaluto. If when he's in the process of Tahara, he has to separate from his wife, then certainly when he's a full-fledged Mitzora, Tamei, Chutz L'machaneh, Badad Yeshiv, then he certainly has to be away from his wife. V'amir Rabbi Chia, Dati Lifnei Rabbi, Rabbi Chia is a Talmud of Rabbi, says, I talked about this issue in front of Rabbi, that's why the other Gersa might be Rabbi instead of Rabbi Yehuda over there. L'matano Rabbeinu, please explain to me, Yotam Lo Yalol Uziyahu B'mei Chaluto. Yotam, the son of Uziyahu, was born out of a conception that happened when Uziyahu was a full-fledged Mitzora. Well, if that's the case, we have a very strong position over here that during Yemei Chaluto, you're allowed to be together with one's wife. You're allowed to have children during that period of time, because we see that's what happened with the Malchei Yehuda. So if that's the case, that's a strong position, a strong question against Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. So Amar Lo, he said back to him, Af ani kach amarti. I said the same thing. When I was arguing with Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, or if it's Rabbi Yehuda here, Rabbi says, I also asked my Rebbe, I said to my Rebbe the same thing. If Yotam was conceived while Uziyahu was Bimei Chaluto, then it's clear here that there is permission to be together with one's wife during Yemei Chaluto. Just to remind you, Uziyahu HaMelech is the king of Yehuda in the time of Yerovam. They basically consolidate the two kingdoms, and by doing that, it reaches back to the heights, or basically back to the time period where you have the imperial Jewish monarchy that basically spreads like from the time of Shlomo HaMelech by basically combining or having an alliance between Yehuda and that of Israel. Uziyahu gets very excited about that, and he basically thinks that he's become a great king, he's been very successful. He decides at that point in time he also wants to be the Kohen Gadol. So he goes into the Beit Mikdash, takes the Ktoret, and runs up to the Mizbech, and starts to bring the Ktoret. As he's in the process of putting the Ktoret on, he turns into a Mitzora Kishalig. Turns totally a Mitzora. Nobody can believe what they're seeing here. They throw him out of the Mikdash. No Mitzora is allowed to be there, and he's gone. That's the punishment. We've spoken about this in the past. He overstepped his bounds. He went beyond where his proper position was. So Hashem punishes him by sending him Badad Yeshiv Mechutz L'Machaneh. He's going to be alone outside the community, and he's going to be nothing now. He's going to be taken out of the whole communal context. So that's what happens to Uziyahu HaMelech. Uziyahu HaMelech remains there for 25 years in that position of being a Mitzora. During that period of time, Yotam, his son, actually rules while Uziyahu is a Mitzora, but he doesn't take credit for it. That we saw earlier in the Gemara as well. That's why Yotam was rewarded for his humility, that even though he was really the king, because his father was not functional as a Mitzora, nevertheless, while his father was alive, he said everything over the name of his father, and he gave his father credit, and he basically didn't take the kingdom until his father finally passes away. So that was the greatness of Yotam. But based on the calculations that we have, we know that Yotam comes to or ascends to the throne when he's 25 years old. Well, if Uziyahu was there for 25 years as a Metzora, and Yotam ascends the throne when he's 25, that means that he was conceived in the period of time that Uziyahu HaMelech was the Metzora. And that's based on we know all of this information based on the Nevuot of Amos. The Nevuot of Amos predicts there's going to be a big earthquake. The earthquake happens at the moment that Uziyahu goes to take on the Torah and he turns into a Metzora. There's also a massive earthquake in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. That was predicted by Amos. And Amos says from there that the Malchut Yisrael will only last for another 65 years. So in describing that there will be a remainder of 65 years, if you do the calculations of the Malchut Yisrael, in order to get there, you need 63 years, because Amos says this 2 years before the earthquake. And how do you get the years? If you add up the years to get to the 63 years that remain from the Malchut Yehuda, because we know when Hoshea ben Elah, who's the last king of Israel, goes into Galut, is in the sixth year of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. So if you backtrack the years of the Malchut Yehuda from there, then you can calculate there were 25 years remaining in the reign of Uziyahu. That's because you have 6 from Chizkiyahu HaMelech, you have 16 from Yotam, and then you have the 25 of Uziyahu. Those add up to 63 years that you need. And so those 63 years give you the period of time that is predicted inside of the... I'm sorry, and I skipped. There are 16 of Achaz also in there. I skipped it. I'm sorry. There is six of Chizkiyahu, 16 of Achaz, 16 of Yotam, and the 25 years of Uziyahu. So that's how we know that Uziyahu was a Metzora for 25 years, because the prediction of Amos is basically 65 years from his Nevuah, which is 63 years from the time of the earthquake, which is when Uziyahu goes into the Kodesh to bring the Torah, and that's when he turns into Metzora, and that's when the earthquake happens. So based on that, we know that Yotam was born from the period of time when Uziyahu was a Metzora Muchlat. So now, by my Kamiflegate, what's the argument here between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Savar Gali Rachmana B'Mei Sfiro. The Torah tells us when his process of Tara, he has to separate from his wife. But Kol Shekein B'Mei Chaluto, then certainly by the time where he's locked up as a Metzora, he should have to separate from his wife. Umar Savar, this is Rabbi's position, Rabbi Yehuda's position, Madgoli Goli, whatever the Torah told you, that's what there is. Madlo Goli, Lo Goli. Whatever the Torah said, didn't say about it, you can't extrapolate to that. There's no extrapolating from a position. Now, Tosafot asks a basic question. He says, Ve'yesh Makshim, Lama Ein Rabbi Doresh Kal V'Chomer. Okay, so I know the Torah only told you this information, but a Kal V'Chomer is something that a person, a logical argument that a person can make on their own, and it makes a lot of sense what Rabbi Yossi, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying here. So Tosafot gives, V'Shema Yesham Pircha. Maybe there's a way to break up the Kal V'Chomer. We may not know it, but there must be a way to break it up. Oh, Shema Mitzora Chidushu. Maybe Mitzora, the whole halacha of Mitzora is a chiddush, and in a chiddush you can't make logical arguments, you can't make logical extrapolations because it's a chiddush. Inami, so zayin yami mashma miut. When it says 7 days, 7 days means those 7 days and no more than that, and it's a miut to come to exclude something else. So you have to come up with a reason why Rabbi or Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Yehuda here does not agree with that position of Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Yehuda making the Kal V'Chomer. So Tosafot speculates either there's a pircha to the Kal V'Chomer, a way to break up the Kal V'Chomer, or Mitzora is an unusual case where you can't extrapolate from it, or maybe there's some miut in the way that it's described in the Pasuk, which says you may Sfiro, so Sfiro, and not anything more than that. So whatever the reason is, he does not darshan the Kal V'Chomer, and then he says whatever the Torah says yes is yes. Whatever it says no is no. So by Sfiro it says no wife. There's no wife there. By Mukhlat it doesn't say anything, so therefore he's allowed to be together with his wife. So now the Gemara says the Memra. From both of the positions, that's Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, the Bekoin Talia Milta, that the Kohen is the determining factor whether someone is Tamei or Tahor. The Gemara says, in, that's true. Va'atanyo, and we have a Braita. Ubiyom harot bo, and that on the day that he shows it to the Kohen. Yesh yom shataru ebo, yesh yom shat I ataru be, robel. There are times where the Kohen should see them at the Tzarat, and there are times where he should not see the Tzarat. Mikan Amru, from this they say, Chatan shenolad bo nega notlim no zayin yemei mishteh. When a Chatan gets a nega, we say, you know what, buddy, enjoy your Sheva Brachot. Don't go show it to the Kohen. Ule Beito, and for his house, Ule Ksuto, and his clothing. And Tzarat, according to the Torah, can appear on his house, on his clothing, or on the body himself. If any of those things happen to a Chatan during his Sheva Brachot, we say, finish up your Sheva Brachot, and then go discuss it with the Kohen. V'chein B'regel, the Sodom is true on the holidays. On the Regel, we say, no, Shivat Yemei Regel. Finish up the holiday, and then go speak to the Kohen. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda learns out the fact that the Kohen is the determining factor here because there's some days that you see it, some days you don't see it. That's what we learn out. On the day that it appears, the Tzaraat appears and he has to show it to the Kohen. That's his position. Rabbi Omer, Eino Tzarich. You don't have to learn it from there. Harehu Omer, it says, Vitziva Kohenu Pinu Et HaBayit. It says by the Tzaraat of a house that the Kohen, before he comes and makes a decision, he tells the Baal Bayit, listen, you know what, buddy? Clear your house out. Because if I make this Tamei, it's going to ruin all your Kelim in the house. So I'm going to give you time here. Just get rid of all the stuff in the house. And then I'm going to come and make the decision for you. So, Im Mamtinin Lo, the Devar Ashut, Kosh Ken the Devar Mitzvah. Over here, why are we waiting for him to clear out the house? To save him some money. Because the items in his house will get ruined and become Tameim. So what do we say? Clear it out first. So that's for an optional item, for a Devar Ashut, where it's not a Mitzvah. Then certainly the Devar Mitzvah, we're going to say that he can respond to. What's the Devar Mitzvah? That's for the Regel to be Sameach, and the Regel to be Sachatan, to be Sameach. Certainly there we're going to postpone it. My Benayu. What's the difference between these two drashot as to the source for the fact that the Kohen is the determining factor by the Tzaraat? So the first answer, Rabbi, Mashmul Doshimi Kaminayu. There is no difference. There's no difference between them. This is just one learned from this pasuk, one learned from that pasuk, but there's no nafkamino between the two positions. Rav, on the other hand, says, Rav Amar, Davar Shuti Kaminayu. The question between them is when you have something that's a mundane matter. Are mundane matters, is the Kohen allowed to back off in the cases of mundane matters? Rabbi Yehuda, Mihotam, what are the two positions? So, Rav Amar, Davar Shuti Kaminayu. Rabbi Yehuda, Mihotam Lo Gamrino, Dechidushu. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't learn out from the position of Rabbi, because Rabbi learns it out from a Rishut which says that you're allowed to clear out the Bayit. So now he says, if you can clear out the Bayit for a Devar Rishut, certainly for Devar Mitzvah, which means that Rabbi believes, even for Devar Rishut, you're allowed, the Kohen's allowed to back off and not give up Sakalach until he's ready. So then, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda learn the same way? Because he says, Matam Lom Gomrinim Dechidushu. All of the Tumat HaMitzora by the Bayit, Tzaraat HaBayit, is all a Chiddush. Da'itzim Vavanim Ba'alma. Those are just stones and wood. We're going to assume here it's flat boards of wood. It's wooden stones that are not normally Mekabel Tumah. Delomitamu. In general, they don't become Tamei. Well, if they don't in general become Tamei, then why all of a sudden they're here they become Tamei? That's a Chiddush. Chiddush, you can't extrapolate. So if you're talking about Tzaraat HaBayit, that's where Rabbi is learning out this from. He's learning from Tzaraat HaBayit. He's extrapolating it to the Mitzvah himself. So Rabbi Yehuda says you can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because there's a big difference between Tzaraat HaBayit, which is a Chiddush Gadol. This is something that normally doesn't become Tamei, you're making Tamei. Versus a person where, of course, they become Tamei outside of Tzaraat. There are other Tumot HaGuf. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda says I disagree with Rabbi's position. Rabbi Amar. Rabbi says, no, it's trich. I need both of these sources. If I only had the source that Rabbi Yehuda gave, have a mina dvar mitzvah in the dvar reshut lo, that you only have permission to postpone seeing the nega for a dvar mitzvah. But for mundane matters, you can't postpone it. So called the rachmanu b'tziva kohen. That's why I have the pasuk by the Tzaraat HaBayit that tells us that the kohen can postpone going to see it until he clears out the house. Dikat rachmanu b'tziva kohen. If I just had the pasuk by Tzaraat HaBayit, hava mini hani in the lab tuma dugufe. The reason that it is just like Rabbi Yehuda said, which is that it's a chiddush. Tzaraat HaBayit is a chiddush because normally it doesn't make kabel tuma. So maybe over there the kohen has the right to postpone it. Aval tuma dugufe. When we're talking about the tuma of the mitzora himself, ema michsa chazile. Maybe he has to see it no matter what. So tricha. So therefore I need both of them. So basically what Rabbi says is from between the two psukim, I actually learned this out. From the Pasuk by the Tzaraat HaBayit, I learned out that even for Rishut, I'm allowed to postpone seeing it. The Kohen is allowed to postpone seeing the Tzaraat. By the other Pasuk, Vayom HaRot, from there I learned out that for Darvar Mitzvah, I'm allowed to postpone seeing the Mitzora. But there it's talking about the Mitzora himself. So now what do I see from this? Number one I see is that first of all, the Kohen is allowed to postpone seeing the Mitzora. Now, the source pasuk I have there only teaches me about a mitzvah. So then I go over to Tzaraat HaBayit, and Tzaraat HaBayit tells me, even for mundane matters, you're allowed to postpone it. Well, now, once I know that, I can go back to the original limud and say, well, I know now that there's a postponement by the Tzaraat HaBayit. I know there's a postponement by Tzaraat HaGuf. They should have the same din. The same din is that both for Davar Rishut and Davar Mitzvah, you're allowed to postpone it. So basically, each one of them fills out the piece that the other one doesn't have. The Tzaraat HaBayit teaches you that even for mundane matters, you're allowed to postpone. And the Tzarat HaGuf teaches you that by Tzarat HaGuf there is a din of postponement, because if you just had Tzarat HaBayit, you wouldn't extrapolate it to Tzarat HaGuf, because Tzarat HaBayit is a Chiddush. So how do I know to extrapolate it? That's why I've written by Tzarat HaGuf as well. And that's what Yehuda says, I actually use both psukim. And by using both psukim, I come to the conclusion that both for mundane matters and for mitzvot, you can postpone seeing it, and that's both by Tzarat HaBayit and Tzarat HaGuf. Of course, the Yehuda disagrees and says that it only applies by Tzarat HaBayit, not by Tzarat HaGuf, and that's why I need a pasuk by Tzarat HaGuf. And the pasuk by Tzarat HaGuf only talks about mitzvot, doesn't talk about Davar Rishut. It only talks about mitzvot, that's what's permitted. Davar Rishut is not permitted, and that's what Rava says is Ikev Enayu. That's the difference between the position of Rabbi Yehuda and the position of Rabbi. Okay, we're going to stop over here.